1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. CBS News has obtained documents showing a pardon Capitol Hill rioters charged with threatening to kill House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. Correspondent Scott McFarland.
Christopher Moynihan, a Dutchess County, New York man, was arrested over the weekend by state police, accused of texting messages that he threatened to kill House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries at a Monday New York City event at which Jeffries was appearing.
Officials in Atlanta say a mentally challenged 48-year-old's under arrest over a plan to stage a mass shooting at the airport there. CBS's Skylar Henry.
He made the threat on a social media live stream. A family member saw it, then contacted police.
Roblox is facing a new criminal subpoenas in Florida over claims it puts kids at risk. The platform's chief safety officer, Matt Kaufman, spoke to CBS News earlier this month.
Our job is to do the best that we possibly can to prevent anything from happening on our platform and to report those situations as quickly as possible.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. If you have horses, you may want to consider protecting them against mosquito bites. Melissa Kay reports.
The state announced the first positive case of Eastern Equine Encephalitis, or EEE, on Friday. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection confirms the case of EEE in Marathon County in a 5-year-old colt. EEE and West Nile virus are only transmitted by mosquito bites and are not contagious between horses. These viruses can cause inflammation of the brain. According to the DATCP, EEE is fatal in most horses showing signs of illness. Confirmation of an infection in the state confirms the presence of EEE in the mosquito population. The virus can be transmitted to people and animals through an infected mosquito bite. Horses can be vaccinated for Eastern Equine Encephalitis and West Nile virus, and officials recommend reducing exposure to mosquitoes by keeping horses in the barn from dusk to dawn when mosquitoes are most active.
According to the DATCP, there were 10 documented cases of EEE in the state in 2024. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development is warning residents that its job support programs aren't receiving any federal funding during the ongoing government shutdown. According to agency officials, about 75% of their budget comes from federal sources. They're using carryover federal dollars and some state funding to keep their programs running for now, but without additional federal funding, some workforce initiatives could shut down. Officials are also expressing concerns about agricultural workers obtaining visas for next year. For more news, visit WXCO.fm. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
Will Fickell be fired? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football. The Badgers face number 6 ranked Oregon Saturday night. Wisconsin has never beat a ranked team since Luke Fickell took over as head coach 3 years ago. They're 0-9. Fickell says he can't be concerned about his future at Wisconsin.
It's not going to change the fact that we got to practice tomorrow. It's not going to change the fact of anything on Saturday. But I have not been told. I'm not worried about that. I mean, I understand, you know, if we don't meet expectations and we don't do the things we need to do, anything can happen.
Athletic director Chris McIntosh releasing a statement in support of the coach. College hoops. Former Marquette star Cam Jones arrested and jailed for leading police in Indianapolis on a brief chase on I-65 yesterday. Jones, drafted by the Pacers this summer, said he was late for practice. He was clocked at 90 miles an hour. In Milwaukee, the Bucks kick off the NBA season tomorrow night against the Washington Wizards. They're planning a welcome back tribute to Chris Middleton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Breezy and colder today with scattered showers developing in the afternoon. High temperatures only in the upper 40s. For tonight, those scattered showers to continue. Look for lows in the upper 30s. Still breezy, wind gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. Currently, it's 39.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Earth Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Yes, Pat Kreitlow will be joining us after 9:30. I hope you can join us too.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It is 7:06, and it's nice to have you back here up north on a Tuesday morning, October 21st, 2025. Parker Olson is producing things down in Madison Studio A2, and in just a few minutes, we will be hearing from State Representative Francesca Hong, a candidate for governor. Fran was passing through the Chippewa Valley on Sunday, and so I got a chance to interview her and take a look at the crowd that had joined her to learn more about her running for governor, what it is that she thinks sets her out from the rest of the field. So I'll be listening for that in just a couple of minutes. Then later this hour at 7:35, Steve Bowe from the group Farm to Power, a group touting the growth of wind and solar power all across rural Wisconsin. And so let me set that up by teasing you with this little factoid. How much capital investment has already been made in wind, solar, and battery power capture across Wisconsin? Is it $100 million? Is it $500 million? Is it $5 billion? How much capital investment has already been made across Wisconsin in wind, solar, and battery power capture? We will talk to Steve Bowe about that later this hour. We'll also be talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area coming up at 8:35, and he too will be talking about the Wisconsin race for governor. Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 is on the way as well, and you can join us too at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can use that Civic Media app to call us or text us or to send us a voice note. Let's see. And we've got from Robin Tigerton. He says, good morning. It is partly cloudy, 39 degrees in Tigerton, and also picked up a quarter inch of rain overnight, and said the fall colors are just past peak, basically, throughout Shawano County. He writes, tonight, with the start of the NBA season, NBC returns to the NBA for the first time since the 2002 NBA Finals, and that means hearing Round Ball Rock. That must be the John Tesh composed theme that would go the NBA on NBC, which I was anchoring back in 2002 when NBC still had the NBA, and there were a lot of newscasts. We had to wait and wait and wait for, you know, oh, triple overtime right now. Oh, great. Can't wait to do the news right after this thrilling contest between Cleveland and Atlanta. There.
Yeah.
The NBA on NBC. Thank you, Marv. Let's see. Tigerton moving up because they started building a Dollar General, hoping to be opened in the spring of 2026. Well, there you go. Times are a change in there in Tigerton. Oh, and Tony fills me in. I was blanking at the very end there. The heist movie with Pierce Brosnan and Rene Russo was the Thomas Crown Affair, which actually is a remake. That was a that was 1999, a remake of a 1968 film that starred Steve McQueen and Faye Dunaway. So if you need a good heist movie, there you go. Thomas Crown Affair, one or both versions. Compare, get back to me, and then we'll cast who's going to do the next remake of it, because that's how this works, right?
We just keep
making the same movies.
They're recycling over, so much.
Over and over again. Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's hear now more from State Representative Francesca Hong of Madison. Fran Hong is one of about a half a dozen Democratic candidates for governor, hoping to succeed Tony Evers next year. And like the other candidates, she is spending a lot of time on the road. I mean, it's not like the Republican leadership in the legislature is doing anything to keep her busy. They do love their paid vacations. But anyway, on Sunday, Fran was in Eau Claire in the busy meeting room of a local coffee house where folks wanted to hear more from someone who they see as part of a new generation of progressives who are less willing to play the go along to get along game. They want action on big issues, which means not being afraid to say some bold things about what a functional government should be doing for all the people, not just those with connections or money. And after her remarks to the crowd, she sat down with me for about 5 minutes, where we started with the reaction she's getting to her campaign so far.
It is so rad. I mean, it's been a whirlwind. I was very overwhelmed, kind of still am, but to see and feel the community support has kept me level, has kept me grounded.
Why do you feel it takes a movement, and how is that the answer to, you know, division?
We have so many folks who are disengaging, are overwhelmed with the state of the world. It is hard to literally exist right now. But when you don't feel as isolated, when you feel like you're a part of something and you want to make a difference, you join a movement. And it might take folks different times, and they might not be sure exactly how they can contribute, but reminding folks that this work is going to take a movement and they can participate in however way they want is going to get folks more engaged, want to be in the fight, and make sure that we have a state and the communities that are supporting one another.
What was the positive impact of yesterday's rallies across the country?
People feel like they're less alone. I met a lot of folks who this was their first rally. And so it means that people who weren't as engaged or weren't quite like just interested in what was going on with politics, and they're coming out and they're trying to figure out what they can do, and they care. Lake Mills, there was an amazing EMS worker. She said this was her first rally. It turns out she kind of like was trying to pay attention to make sure that folks were being safe, but got really emotional when we talked about how a lot of folks feel like they were robbed. And they're in a system that robs folks of their compassion, of their empathy, and their way of, you know, believing that we need each other, we have to care for one another, and that we deserve a state that's going to fight to unrig a system that works against working class people.
You had a good turnout for a Sunday morning here. How do you tell them, what's your lane? There's a lot of different gubernatorial candidates out there. What's the lane you occupy?
They're calling me the wild card. And I think if you think about the own Uno wild card, it kind of helps steer the game differently. And sometimes you have more winners, I think. My lane in this race is to be, you know, relentless in bold policies, that we build a coalition of folks who are independents, maybe further left, centrist, moderates, even a couple of Republicans who are curious about this campaign of a working class candidate fighting for working class people. The energy, the, you know, social media presence. I've got folks coming in just because they saw me on TikTok and they're curious. And we need more campaigns that draw in curiosity, creativity, and folks of all different backgrounds to build a coalition for a movement.
I'm not trying to put a divide in Democratic voters. People already know it's out there. The people who are thinking that too much of the party, the establishment party, is too quick to be conciliatory, if you will, and that they're looking for something different. You feel like you're giving that something different.
People are ready for change. They want to take on the establishment, you know, the policies that have gotten us here, the complacency. the lack of imagination. And so I want to counter all of that, but most importantly, I want to make sure that we're bringing folks along in the process. And I think the more people we have engaging in politics, changing the conversation around who deserves power, who does that power serve, and getting folks, you know, involved, like that's going to go beyond 2026 election. We need folks to stay engaged, to stay fighting, and know that they deserve a better world.
I asked this of Senator Kelda-Royce last week when she was on the show, that this is going to be a campaign of primaries here in the 3rd Congressional District, for the governor's race, of course, and for others, legislative seats included. And what does it mean for you as a candidate to know that in all these different races, you're asking voters to do a little extra work, a little work that's a little earlier, you know, look at everybody and show up in August?
A lot of people, when I ask them, you know, not specifically on an issue, but what they're caring about, why they showed up to No Kings, is they want to save democracy. And primaries are democratic. It's a place for more debate and conversations. And I think that in order for us to make sure folks are staying engaged and getting a little bit more information about the candidates, we have to make sure to be creative and aggressive on some of the digital platforms, do things that engage folks, whether it's me juggling a soccer ball and having my kiddo in the background talking about the importance of small dollar donations, or doing more videos around policy, and going into spaces where politicians don't often go, and talking about the issues, whether it's a dive bar or a bowling alley, maybe a cranberry festival. We can't just do things for the photo ops and cutting the ribbons. We got to start talking to folks and centering them and talking about what they deserve, and what's important to them.
Francesca Hong, candidate for governor. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Pat.
I got to talk with her on Sunday morning as she was passing through the Chippewa Valley, again on the road to hither and yon and every other corner of Wisconsin there as part of her campaign. And I wanted to emphasize again, one of the points there is about primaries. Obviously, there will be a primary for both Democrats and Republicans for the governor's race. And between, again, the legislative races, the congressional races, and more, for all this focus on November, and yes, it is going to be important for people to vote in November of 2026, but it's that August election that determines who's going to be on the ballot come November in a lot of these races. And so that's August 11th. Of next year, August 11th, a Tuesday in the middle of summer break for everybody. And, you know, it's not the heaviest lift, obviously. We think that people, you know, should be voting in every election. But the August primary is still not one that's on everybody's radar. And so I just wanted to make sure that people are aware that we'll be talking about that August 11th date repeatedly and asking you to check out the candidates and then to do your part to learn more and help determine what is going to be on your ballot in November of next year. And again, my thanks to Fran Hong, and we'll be talking to other candidates for governor as they're able to come on the show or pass through our neck of the woods here. We'll talk to them and pass it all on to you. The Up North News Daily newsletter is put together by Ellie Bordeaux, and she's going to be joining us tomorrow. And you can sign up for the newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. In there today, she talks about getting past the false fall that's out there, that it is definitely cooling down now. And she's asking people to send in what the fall colors look like in your neck of the woods. And we'd love to get some of those photos up in the newsletter and maybe post them on social media as well. She's asking about people decorating for Halloween. I think we've all noticed a trend, whether it's weather related or just the availability of decorations. Halloween house decorating has, I'm not going to say it surpassed Christmas decorating, but I mean, just amazing, almost explosive growth in some communities where people are putting up the giant skeletons and getting more elaborate with things because they can, again, because it's, you know, not in the middle of December. So again, if you want to send some of the house decorating that you've seen or that you've done in your neighborhood, by all means, feel free to do that and send your note as well. Sign up again for the newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. Now, coming in along in 15 minutes here, we're going to tell you about, here's that number, $5 billion worth of capital investments in wind and solar and battery power capture all across Wisconsin. Steve Bowe will be our guest to discuss that just a little bit later on. And then Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area at 8:35. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Pop Parade.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Don't often agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. They asked her about Congress being shut down and how it related to the Epstein files.
Why drag this out? That is going to have 218 signatures. I say go ahead and do it and get it over with.
Trigby? She's not necessarily my cup of tea, but she reads tea leaves. I think her moving to where she's at says that when that vote happens, there are going to be a major dam break, and it's a problem.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome back. WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Overcast skies, 40 degrees. Starting to get some light out there here on this Tuesday morning. Time is 7:23, Tuesday, October the 21st of 2025. I'm in a mood today to kind of point out the decision that each of us has to make in this era of Donald Trump. Because over and over and over again, this administration does things, nominates people that should be nowhere close to a position granted by the people of the United States of America.
I agree.
And the latest example that disgusts me, to be honest with you, it's disgusting. It's a person named Paul Ingracia. Paul Ingracia is nominated by Donald J. Trump to lead the Office of Special Counsel. And this is a rather significant position. The Office of Special Counsel is an independent agency tasked with protecting federal whistleblowers and enforcing civil service laws.
Oh, dear.
And this man
is supposed to appear on Thursday before the Senate Homeland Security Committee for a confirmation hearing. The problem is,
okay,
even Republicans are saying this man should not be confirmed. That the Senate Majority Leader, John Thune, yesterday said he's not going to pass. Rick Scott, very conservative from Florida, who's got his own problems in his past, said, no, I do not support him. This is unusual that a Donald Trump nominee would not be supported by Republicans, because normally it doesn't matter.
You know what really says something? When the members of your own party have problems against your nomination.
And the reason why, I haven't even got to that yet, the reason why that this man, Paul Ingrassia, is basically dead on arrival when in terms of his nomination in the Senate is because Politico, the website, has reported on racist text messages allegedly sent by Ingrassia to a group chat. So just last week, we had the big controversy of the young Republicans and their racist and anti-Semitic group text messages. Right. And now it's Paul Ingrassia. And some of the, I'm gonna read them, because people, you have a choice right now. You need to realize you either support this garbage or you don't support this garbage. If you're out there saying, well, I don't really agree with everything Donald Trump says, but I still support the man. Well, this is what you agree with. This is some of the stuff Paul Ingrassia, Donald Trump's nominee for this important position. Well, he's one of them says, Paul Ingrassia, MLK Jr. was the 1960s George Floyd, and his, quote, holiday, end quote, should be ended and tossed into the seventh circle of hell where it belongs. Paul Ingrassia, another text of Republicans. I do have a Nazi streak in me from time to time. I will admit it. One of the people in the group text said that in an interview with Politico, Ingrassia's comment was not taken as a joke, and three participants pushed back against Ingrassia during the text exchange that day. In July, Republican senators delayed Ingrassia's nomination hearing with one airing concerns about some statements about anti-Semitism. Ingrassia, in the text, says,
oh,
never trust a Chinaman or Indian. Never, all capital letters. Paul Ingrassia on this text message, I said we're making Kwanzaa illegal in the next Trump administration. That was the gist of my tweet. No Mulligan holidays. I don't even know what that means, though. I'm sure it's pretty racist. From Kwanzaa to MLK Jr. Day to Black History Month to Juneteenth, every single one needs to be eviscerated.
So he just wants to get rid of all the holidays that don't have anything to do with white
people. He is a racist, and it seems as though Donald Trump has a lot of people that think this way around him. Donald Trump, back in his business days, starting back in the 1970s, was convicted of racist housing practices. He's got a record himself of it. So basically at this point, the people of this country have to decide, are we going to be a racist country? Or there have been racist aspects to it for many from the beginning. That's the original sin of this country is slavery. And you have these folks, and we have right now in the Supreme Court of the United States decisions being made that could roll back voting rights going back to the 1960s. The people of this country need to figure out what they want this country. Do we want this country to go backwards for the next number of decades? Because that's what's happening if you're going to continue to support people like Donald Trump and the people that he brings into government.
Seriously.
This is another example of the incredible low bar that Trump has for filling positions within the United States government when somebody like this is a nominee for an important position within his government. Exactly. And it's not the first time this has happened. This seems to continue over and over and over again. But Trump is a poison to this country. And And frankly, the people of this country have to make up their mind as we go into 2026, a midterm election, whether or not they're going to continue to support this or at least push back a little bit in a midterm election.
Exactly.
Anything you'd like to add here in the final seconds? Because I got off on a little momentum there.
That's okay. Wait, just all of those are terrible things to say. Hey.
We need to decide as a people in this country what we want to be. That's the bottom line here. And exactly. Continuing to elect people like Donald Trump says way too much.
It really does.
The time is 7:30. Back to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow next on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on air.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One offhand comment from the president took beef prices lower on Friday, and now cattle organizations are responding. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. President Trump made an offhand comment about bringing in Argentinian beef to try to help lower consumer beef prices here in the United States. Well, the markets reacted immediately, and now the National Cattlemen's Beef Association is reacting. Colin Woodall is the CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
Well, we are extremely concerned with the plan, but probably more importantly, we are just flat disappointed that this is the approach that the president has taken. We understand what he is trying to do, but what he does not realize is that in trying to bring the price of beef down for the consumer, it means he's going to bring down the price being paid for cattle for U.S. producers. So in fact, this is a direct attack on U.S. cattle producers, and it negates so much of the work that we have done over the years to build the overall quality of our product.
Colin Woodall, he is the CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Woodall goes on to say that there are no details of the offhand comments President Trump made aboard Air Force One, but the markets nonetheless have pushed cattle prices lower. What's happening in overnight electronic trade on a Tuesday morning? I've got numbers next.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers. Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick? How did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy. From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
No USDA milk report for the month of September because of the government shutdown. Barrel cheese was up a quarter at 177 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese up two at 179 and a half. The AA butter down a penny and a half at 158 a pound. November class 3 milk's up a penny at 1703. December corn's unchanged. November soybeans are up four at 1035. July wheat down a penny right now, 543 a bushel. Just a quick market snapshot on a Tuesday morning. I'm Farm Director PM Yankee.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Breezy and colder today with scattered showers developing in the afternoon. High temperatures only in the upper 40s. For tonight, those scattered showers to continue. Look for lows in the upper 30s. Still breezy, wind gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. Right now, it's 40 degrees.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio.
On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and podcast host Jimmy Pardo, then Mission 1 Billion co-founders Rex Sykes and Rocky Wagenhurst join the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Nice to have you back here on this Tuesday morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Welcome to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News across the Civic Media Radio Network, 735 on this Tuesday morning, where normally we would be talking to Hans Breitenmoser. You'll recall that when we last spoke to him, he was getting set to do field work, all kinds of field work. The weather was perfect and there is work to be done. And he begged off for today. And we're like, absolutely. He helped arrange our upcoming guest here, Steve Bowe, to talk about green energy across rural Wisconsin. And we'll get to that in a minute, but I can't let this segment go without making mention again of what you might've just heard in the Midwest Farm Report, that President Donald Trump, who was already getting into some hot water with many farmers for starting a trade war with China, China went from buying $12 billion worth of soybeans to $0, which is impacting soybean farmers across Wisconsin. And China is now getting its soybeans from Argentina. That Trump yesterday said, as a way to fight food inflation and help with consumer prices, maybe we need to buy beef from Argentina. The headlines are full of farmers, beef farmers, and others here in the United States of America who are saying words that I cannot say on the radio. But in much the same way, last hour, we talked about how Trump promised that the new ballroom would not damage the White House. And yesterday, he brought in a demolition crew and they tore down the east facade of the White House. Well, similarly, there are a whole lot of farmers who are hearing Trump say, let's get our beef from Argentina, who are going, huh, imagine that. Also happening across rural Wisconsin is an ongoing wave of new jobs, a new bumper crop of jobs in new, greener, cleaner energies, wind, solar, battery power capture systems, and more. And one of the groups that is touting it, advocating for it all across Wisconsin is a group that Steve Bowe is joining us to represent right now called Farm to Power. Join them at farmtopower.org. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Happy to be here with you this morning.
Nice to see you here as well. It's been a while since we've talked, and now you're working with Farm to Power. Let's get right to what the group is, what it does, what it's advocating for. Tell us more about Farm to Power.
Yeah. So Farm to Power is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that works with farmers who are supportive, interested, or that actually have renewable energy on their land. And we work to support them and to elevate their voices in this renewable energy conversation. So a lot of times we'll try to connect a farmer who's maybe interested in it with another farmer who has gone through that process before. And then we also try to tell their stories of how incorporating renewable energy has had a positive impact on them, their family, their farm, and also their community.
Why do you feel like there is a need for a group of advocates like this on behalf of farmers when talking about clean energy?
So often the farmer's story has been lost in this renewable energy story. And so what we aim to provide is that outlet for farmers to be able to talk about the impact that bringing renewable energy, and we mainly focused on utility scale wind and solar, what that's done for them. You know, a good number of the farmers that have gone through the process of going, you know, getting a contract either through solar or wind. They're not putting their entire farm into renewable energies. They're putting a segment of farm. And as we've talked about, you know, farmers have always had to ride the waves of up and downs in regards to commodity prices. Well, incorporating renewable energy is an outlet for farmers where they can rely on steady and consistent financial income that can help them ride those up and down waves of farm commodities.
What kind of potential are we talking about here? Because we mentioned before the break that on your website, it says that already there's been some $5 billion worth of capital investments made across Wisconsin, not necessarily all on farms, but what kind of potential are we talking about for Wisconsin farmers and rural landowners?
Well, when we look at what the potential is for a farmer, I mean, obviously there are stages in the process of renewable energy, everything from just a commitment to kind of reserve that land for leasing all the way up to when they're actually in production. And so those price points vary depending on what process you are in. But when it's in production, it's not unheard of to hear of contracts that are in that $1,000 to $1,500 range. And I can tell you there's not really a whole lot of commodities in which you are producing anywhere from $1,000 to $1,500 plus per acre on your land. And so, like I said, for a lot of farmers, they're not putting the entire farm into it, but they're putting a segment of their farm into renewable energy that allows them to sustain that farm for future generations.
We're talking to Steve Bowe from the group farmtopower.org, advocating for cleaner, greener energy generation across rural Wisconsin, including on our farms. And here's a point that I've made previously and want to get again out there, that while I am an unapologetic cheerleader for such things as wind and solar and other things that wean us off of fossil fuels, it must be said that, you know, somebody needs to be an advocate for the landowners, for the farmers, that just because you favor a particular type of energy does not mean that they would all treat every farmer or landowner the same. In other words, one company might come in and promise a farmer X, another company might come in and promise Y, and one of them is realistic and one of them is very not realistic, and a farmer or a landowner is wondering which end is up, because we're essentially in a brave new world here. So this is just my way of saying, Steve, that farmers and landowners shouldn't just necessarily, you know, sign on the dotted line the first time they're approached.
That first contract is a starting point, not an end point. Mm-hmm. And what we always try to advocate with farmers is to for them to understand their negotiating power. Obviously, developers always going to try to get the max amount that they can for a contract. Well, you should be doing the same. So a lot of the questions that we talk with farmers about, what are your short-term, long-term needs of your farm and for that land? Do you need easement access to other land? We really try to have a conversation with farmers to see, are you interested in incorporating agriculture with these renewable energy projects, particularly the solar? Like, are you interested in grazing sheep? Are you interested in honeybees and apiaries? Are you interested in incorporating some aspect of agriculture with these projects? Because those are things that need to be negotiated within that contract. And agrivoltaics is something that has actually really blossomed, not only here in Wisconsin, but also with renewable energy and generally across the country.
Well, that gets me to the point of either misinformation or confusion that is out there. And so I want to have you tackle a few of those points with me. One of them is that, well, if you go with solar or something, you know, you're taking perfectly good functioning farmland out of circulation. And that's not necessarily the case, Steve.
Well, for a lot of instances, we're just shifting from one form of energy to another. Because what a lot of people don't realize and is farmers have been involved in renewable energy production for many, many years. We have got over 1 million acres of corn that go to corn for ethanol. And so for a lot of times, you're just shifting one form of energy to another, whether it's corn ethanol or energy production.
And so... You get that talking point about, you know, energy production and you know, versus land production. But then you get, I certainly know every time that any particular group comes in, you see the signs go up saying no to solar or no to wind because, and I can also attest to this as a former legislator, you hear all kinds of things about what these wind turbines do. And I don't know, Steve, tell me more about wind turbine cancer or, you know, whatever the other arguments that are made out there.
Yeah. We definitely hear it all. Mm-hmm. And that's also part of what we try to do is to have those community conversations to really get some information, concrete facts out there about what are the real key pieces of information, not only in regards to some of the things we hear in regards to solar and wind, but then also in regards to talking about what it means for their local units of government and that utility aid that comes in both at the town level and the county level. It's a, you know, any project that's over 50 megawatts, it's $5,000 per megawatt that's divvied between the county and the town on a 60-40 split.
Well, that's another good point, is that not only do you have the farmers, the landowners out there, but you also have some of those folks serve on their town board or they serve on their county board. And again, they may think, well, we're there, you know, to talk about filling potholes on the roads and things. And then next thing you know, here comes this big, you know, proposal to do something in their township. And I'm sure, again, the Wisconsin Towns Association and the Wisconsin Counties Association, I've worked with them for years and years. They are very good people, but you probably can't have enough resources for people at the local level of government to learn more about the potential for these projects.
Well, and that's why when you get to projects that are over 100 megawatts, that's an automatic through the PSC. And so town and county governments, in essence, don't have major impact in regards to that, because those bigger projects go through a state affiliated agency to really do the environmental impacts and the types of studies that local units of government don't necessarily have the financial resources to do.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Steve Bowe from Farm to Power. The website is farmtopower.org. Now, there are obviously all these investments being made, and there was so much that was in the Inflation Reduction Act to make a generational investment in green energy sources. And yet all we hear about now in 2025 is the number of projects that are being cut, slashed, federal money is being clawed back, et cetera. To what degree is that already happening versus there's been a lot of talk about it, but there are still resources to carry these projects forward?
Yeah, there's still financial resources for a little time period forward. And so that's where you're seeing a lot of these projects, honestly, being ramped up a little bit to still qualify for those credits. What we're also seeing is that even without the credits, renewable energy is still one of the most cost-effective forms of energy production. And so while it may pause things temporarily, that is still a very bright future for investment.
Yeah, it's something we've discussed on our Climate Check segment plenty of times that, things are just going in a different direction. The emphasis is coming maybe from state governments or from other sources. And so despite having a president who is very much an oil and coal fan, you're saying that the work is still going to go on and that there are ways for people to learn more about the potential for future projects.
Yep, the work is still moving forward in regards to renewable wind and solar. You know, us as an organization, we're not here to say that renewable wind and solar is the end all be all. We believe that we are a part of the energy pie. And so we're just making sure that we advocate for a farmer's right to be able to be a part of that pie and that they have the opportunity to be able to put renewable wind and solar on their land if that's what's right for them, their family, and their farm.
Steve Bowe from Farm to Power. That's at farmtopower.org. Steve, it was great to catch up with you. Thank you very much.
Yes, it was great to chat with you too, Pat.
All right, take care. All right, coming up in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll be talking to Cam Stevenson live from Washington, D.C. for Courier Newsroom and Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
during Medicare's open enrollment. It's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
Vanity Fair calls BritBox a delicious streamer. Collider says everyone should be watching. Catch Britain's next best series with BritBox. Stream acclaimed new originals like Code of Silence.
You read lips, right?
And Linley, based on the best-selling mystery series.
D.I. Linley, take it from here.
And don't miss the new season of Karen Piri, coming this October.
You don't look like police. I'll take that as a compliment.
See it differently when you stream the best of British TV with BritBox. Watch with a free trial today.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome back. WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 7:53, currently 40 degrees under overcast skies here in downtown Wausau, corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in Wausau. I am Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh. And Ian, today I have felt the urge to point out some things about Donald J. Trump. Most days I will not
nothing
do this,
wrong with that. It's,
but
it's,
I think
more of.
I think that we had 1,100 folks show up in Rib Mountain here in the Wausau area on Saturday for the No Kings rally, and it was just one of many, many No Kings rallies that occurred around the country. And estimates of some 7 million folks went out and said, we do not approve of what this administration is doing. And another example has come out again. And it's something that, to be honest with you, should be, I think, spoken of more and more and more and louder and louder and louder. Because in recent months, Donald J. Trump has been bombing boats in waters around Central America, South America, claiming that they're drug boats without giving any evidence. Well, yesterday, the survivor of one of these U.S. strikes on a submersible vessel accused by the Trump administration of transporting drugs in the Caribbean, well, this person who survived this bombing that killed two others was released by authorities in Ecuador after prosecutors said they had no evidence he committed a crime in the South American nation. The official, who asked not to be identified because they were not authorized to speak on the matter, told the Associated Press that the Ecuadorian man was in good health after medical evaluations. A document from the Ecuadorian government obtained by the AP said there is no evidence or indication that could lead prosecutors or judicial authorities to be certain of any violation of current laws by the man. Donald Trump and his administration have had seven different attacks like this since September. And the seventh was just this past Friday, which was reported over the weekend, bringing the total deaths from the attacks to 32. The strikes have set off tensions in the region, particularly between Trump, Venezuela, and Colombia, once one of the American government's tightest allies in the Western Hemisphere. In fact, Ecuador has a conservative government, politically aligned with Donald Trump. But their president, Daniel Noboa, said yesterday in a message on X addressed to Donald Trump, "President Trump, Ecuador remains firm in the global fight against drug trafficking," but he added that such challenges require unity among nations committed to peace and prosperity. Trump has justified the action, saying that the United States is engaged in an armed conflict against drug cartels. Fine. But start to show some proof. He refuses to show any proof that these are drug ships, that they're not just fishing boats. And the idea that you are judge, jury, and executioner is also wrong.
Yes, it is.
32 deaths. And if there is no evidence that these are drug traffickers, and even if they were, you don't get the right just to blow them out of the water. Mm-hmm. You arrest them. It is time, again, for the Democrats in the United States Senate and the United States House to say, show us the evidence here. Because otherwise, it looks like Donald Trump is just out there getting his jollies out of blowing ships up and killing people. And that can be called murder. Mm-hmm. But Donald Trump, because of his Supreme Court that says, well, a president in office can do anything he wants and not be prosecuted, can murder people if he wants to and not be prosecuted, thanks to John Roberts and Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas and other conservative members of the United States Supreme Court. The bottom line here is that events like Saturday around the country, no kings, will have to continue to be important, because I could spend every day using every single segment talking about what Donald Trump is doing and the people around Donald Trump are doing. I don't do that. I can't do that. But we need to talk about this, and we need leadership from the people. Next time, I hope I get a chance to talk to Senator Baldwin again sometime soon. I'm going to ask, what do you think of this? What are you going to do about this? It seems to be that going out there and murdering people and then showing no evidence of why you're doing it is an impeachable offense to me. But maybe I'm just crazy here. I don't know. But it just seems as though Trump is getting his jollies out of blowing people out of the water without evidence. It's wrong.
The people need to stand up against this And the Democratic Party needs to call him out on this.
Yes, they do. I mean,
it doesn't matter if he's the president or not. It matters that he is violating his office. He is killing people. Well,
without
evidence of this. There is no evidence that any of these are drug boats.
And this Ecuadorian government, which is, again, a conservative government, says there was no evidence that this was a drug ship. This was one of these seven bombings, and we have not yet seen any evidence from any of them from the Trump administration yet.
This has to be acknowledged, and this has to be called out.
We will be back at 8:22. More of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow next on WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO, 1230 AM. W255DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. CBS News has seen court documents that show January 6th attacker Christopher Moynihan's been arrested for threatening to kill House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. Correspondent Scott McFarland.
Moynihan was pardoned January 20th for his January 6, 2021 Capitol riot crimes. He'd been found guilty on several charges and imprisoned as part of the riot.
Police in Atlanta say they've arrested a would-be mass shooter at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. Mayor Andre Dickens.
We are standing here talking about a tragedy averted versus us standing here telling you about 27 plus lives that were lost or injured.
At least 7 out of 9 U.S. colleges offered funding deals in exchange for going along with Trump administration priorities have rejected it. USC professor Mickey Turner.
I can't see a situation where we would want to limit what we say, how we say it, and what we do as a university.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah.